Hi, good morning. As you saw, I'm a Canadian, my name's Ian Cameron, and clearly I like the bands at times. To be very honest with you, I had thought of just going on with what David did, but then I thought, maybe that's not what you want. So we can do this one of two ways. I can run you through the expert system presentation about the entertainment business and what we're doing and what we're trying to do and some of the ideas that we have that may be helpful to you, and or you could just open it up to questions, because I'm sure part of the reason why you came in here was because of what David said, and David's certainly available to answer questions about that first if you wish. So I'm trying to decide which way you'd like to go. Would you rather talk to David and hear what David did and how he approached all of these problems within Dow Jones, or would you rather be consulted?
I will be consulted.
Did both? Maybe it's more appropriate to define how it is that we're involved with Dow Jones. So on one of David's slides, he talked about taxonomies, and one of the tool sets amongst the many that we can provide is in terms of taxonomy development, taxonomy creation and management, as well as importing existing taxonomies, merging taxonomies, helping you create branches within your taxonomy, also identifying gaps in your taxonomies, like what is it missing. We also offer natural language processing platform, we call it Semantics, as well as a number of different languages. David mentioned that right now Dow Jones is using 7 of the languages that we do. We actually have a total of 14, and we'll have 16 languages by the end of the year. What's important about that is that behind the technology and our natural language processing layer is our knowledge graph. We're an Italian company, and they like Latin names, so in fact it's a product name is Sensigrafo, but I think most people understand knowledge graph much better. What's important to understand about all of that is that by the time we bring on the 16 languages, in point of fact, all of our knowledge graphs will be in all of those different languages. And they will also be interrelated to each other. So that if you're looking for, you know, Ian Cameron the dancer or Ian Cameron the expert system guy, you will get everything that's in Italian, French, English, German, Spanish, and all the other 16 languages that we work in. Another function that Dow Jones is using us for is in terms of, he talked about a rules-based approach to understanding their content. One of the tool sets that we offer is called Vigito Studio, which is a rules-based approach to linguistics and how you can extract information from your documentation based upon a preset format. Call it a taxonomy, call it a thesaurus, call it a, I know they're not the same thing, and the purists would mad at me for doing that, but any classification methodology can be handled in Cogito Studio, and it can also build one for you. So for example, David talked about unstructured content. We're not particularly frightened of unstructured content, because within our tool sets, we have methodologies that would help you extract, for example, the frequency of a particular word that's in your documentation, and that will then help you form the basis of, should that form, for instance, the first node in my taxonomy, and what are the related concepts to that node? So I guess all I'm trying to say is that we're not sexy, we're not production, you know, we don't do crazy videos and stuff like that. I mean, we can read as a human does, and we can understand in context, in a variety of different languages. So anything that you have a script attached to, closed captioning, photo captions, even PDFs of interviews and things like that can be utilized in terms of, and timestamps in particular, particularly if you're dealing with video, where you can, where we can identify, our software can identify the topic of the conversation or the topic of the film or the topic of the narrative or whatever it happens to be, and group that with other similar things. So for example, if you were to think of, we also do sentiment analysis and auto summarization and many other things, but let's talk about trailers, for instance. So you're releasing a trailer for a new film, or you're releasing a trailer for a sequel. Let's take the Transformers, and Bumblebee has had a change of character. He's gone from good to bad. So you want to know what the social media is saying about the transformation of Bumblebee from good to bad, or whatever it happens to be. You can extract that information using our tool sets because we will do it and scan the web for that kind of information, bring it back to you so that you can, in turn, utilize that information in any format that you want and insert it into your reports. So that's one idea. Another idea would be, for example, if you're a studio and you have a licensing division and you want to be able to license content, it doesn't matter whether it might be something like a, you know, think of an emoticon that's a 2-second clip of, you know, Robert De Niro going, analyze that, you know, and somebody wants to put that at the bottom of their email. So if you think about the different licensing opportunities that you have, but right now what you're doing is you're having screeners going through hours and hours and hours of video trying to identify the shots that you can use from a licensing perspective, we can help you do that in a much more consistent manner, and we can help you find it much faster. That's another idea. Also think of it from content creation. So if you're a creator and you're working on something, you're a researcher, you're a journalist, you're what have you, and you want to look at what have you got both internal to your internal content management system or your DAM or whatever it is you're using, but you also want to do something about blue whales in the North Sea. So you're going to look into your own content management bin for blue whales in the North Sea, but equally you're going to want to know what is out in the public domain. You know, what's out in the public domain about blue whales in the North Sea? We have tools that can, as I call it bolt onto our natural language processing layer, that can actually go out into the public domain and bring that all back in for you. So if you're a researcher, think of productivity gains. So instead of taking 2 hours to create a research report, you might save yourself 50% of your time. And I can give you a real life example. As I said, my wife is French. She's actually a journalist for Agence France Presse. And prior to the implementation of our solution at Agence France Presse, my wife used to have to go into all the different verticals within Agence France Presse. So she'd have to go into video, then into text, then into photos, then into audio, then into graphics, and extract the information manually to help create her stories. The solution that we provided for them allows it so that she gets all that content in a federated return relative to what it is she's searching for. So people, topics, events, geographies, places, that kind of thing. So what that's done from a productivity gain for her is it's improved her productivity 100%. So instead of doing 20 videos a day, or 20 video stories a day, she's doing 40 video stories a day. Now, you can't take a direct correlation or a direct line and say, therefore, because you've created 100% more content, you're going to get 100% more revenue. But I think it's a fair assumption to make that if you create more content and have more content available, you are going to drive more revenue. So those are the kinds of things that we do. And rather than say, this is how you do it, generally speaking, what we do is we go in with our clients and we identify their pain points. So what are the pain points? Is it, you know, the inconsistency of tagging? Is it inconsistency of annotation? All those different things. And I can stand up here and tell you that we can do anything you want us to do. That would be what a salesman would say. And even though I am a salesman, I'm going to say honestly and truly, what is more relevant is for you to come to us with a pain, a business need, a use case. Let us have a chance to do a POC with you, and we'll turn around and deliver it to you. And in the end, if it's something that you want, well, then we negotiate terms and figure out what kind of licensing model we need to create with you in order to help you get to that point. So that's sort of what I would say is, you know, I'm not a slick sales guy, it's just, I got too much gray hair, lost my slickness 40 years ago. But that's what we do. And relative to Dow Jones, I mentioned it briefly, one of the very interesting things that David did was he brought in people, first of all, who were from different cultures, from different countries, from different geographies around the world, but also people from different functions within the company. So we had editors, we had journalists, we had researchers, we had product people, we had data people, we had technology people. And to sort of put those 40 people in the room, both from disparate cultures as well as disparate parts of the company, and to try and get them all to think about what could we do to help them get there, was a really interesting 2-day session. I mean, David can talk about it more if you wish, but all in, that's sort of what I find very exciting about this business. And just so you know, my background is not software. As a matter of fact, I worked for, I worked for Thomson Reuters, I worked for Dow Jones, and I've worked for Getty Images, so I come from a content background. I mean, I'm not a good sort of software explainer, and furthermore, I don't think I want to be, because I think what I understand is the pain points. coming from the publishing industry, and you know, all of those news agencies that I just mentioned are textual, photo, video, so I worked across the media formats as well. So it allows me to sort of really understand and talk to our developers and say, when you're developing a piece of software, you know, that's really cool that we can do that, but who's gonna buy that? You know, it's more important about it saying, if you put software A with B and F, it solves this pain point for this client. So it's more about understanding the business case and understanding the business need in order to help you address what it is you need to get done. And that's sort of all I wanted to say about Expert System, because that's kind of, you know, that wasn't what this session was about. It was really supposed to be part two about David's little chat. So I'm certainly open to questions, or David's open to questions, or if you would like more information about how we did that using our tools or other tools, because as he said, it's not one simple solution from one simple provider. It's multiple different providers to achieve or to accomplish the solution. Are there any questions?
So are most content, I know Dow Jones is has been doing this for a long time, but do other you know, content providers, especially media, are they doing the same type of thing that you've been trying to do?
Well, I know of a few of our competitors that do similar to what we do. I don't think they do it as well as us. I mean, like LexisNexis has some sort of categorization system. TR has their own OpenCalA system, I believe is what it's called. They also all feed their content into our system. So it's not, you know, so I can't say they don't do it, but I just think we do it better.
And then access to what you've done to people, I mean, how does that happen?
Okay, so we have Factiva, which is built on a search engine, and one of the vendors is in the group. And so
they kill you.
She's right there. You can give me money. So we, you know, we utilize their software, and we built a custom search engine on top of that. We also the Dow Jones DNA product will allow you to take a snapshot of a significant portion of the archive. So say you want all English content from North Dakota. You could take all of that content for 30 years and take it and put it in your environment. And then you could actually use Expert Systems to then mine it in a way that you want to do that's different from the way we do it. And we provide all the coding along with it. So if it were coded with any of our subject coding, you would get all that.
And I'd also say to remember that Dow Jones is actually a subsidiary of News Corp. So, you know, Factiva, which David has far more experience with than I do, but Factiva is in fact sort of the content bin for a lot of the News Corp content. It doesn't necessarily have to be text, it could be video, it could be photo, it could be all that kind of stuff. So
we actually have done video. We chose to stop doing video because it just wasn't impactful to our customers. Our customer base is mostly researchers, and researchers don't necessarily care about video. But when we did video, we basically transcribed it. So we would use another piece of software to transcribe it, put it into print, and then we would tag the print. Which is how I think most of them are doing it today anyway. It really comes down to, if you look at all of the video software that I know of out there, it's going through that process. So it all comes down to text, I think, in the end. And then you use a product like this, and you're not going to the process.
I think it might be helpful for these guys' context if you talk about what the product is. You don't have to say exactly, but roughly what kind of investment people make to get access to it.
In fact, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's a super high value, niche, but very specific audience. Like, how much does it cost to get access to Factiva? Because this is not, this world is pretty
much it's a little different world. So a single seat of Factiva is about, last time I checked, about $400 a month. So it has a significant price tag. Most of our customers are corporate organizations, many of which have enterprise-wide licenses. So, you know, if you work for one of those companies, you get full access to this product. It's a destination website, global.factiva.com. You can go onto it, and if you'd like to get the information, you can go on there and actually, you know, request some information. I'm not here to try to sell you on something. I'm just here to just kind of tell you how it works. So I didn't want to really push it that way. But it's a good product. It has different levels. So if you are a full-on user, it's $400 a month. Then there's like Analyst, which is a two-year archive, which is a lower price point, and then there's just like Reader and Copyright. So if you are a consumer of articles, so maybe I'm the creator of a newsletter within your organization, but you're only going to be reading articles, and there's like $20 a month off of that.
One of the, I mean, in point of fact, I also didn't go through the presentation, this is in point of fact the workflow at Dow Jones. So what happens is that here's where the information comes in. It goes down through the first layer, which is what we provide, which is that taxonomy, natural language processing layer, which then tags all of the content, which that then goes the metadata, and then all that goes into their content repository. They go through a number of different processes internally to test the data to make sure that it's accurate. You know, we have heard about machine learning a little bit. You know, I think as Eve said, you know, AI is an enormous term. There are different functions within AI, and so I think that to say, you know, AI can solve the problem is really a vast generalization. And I think Matt can probably talk to this better than me. But some of the components of AI, particularly machine learning, we actually provide. And this is something we're going to be exploring further with Dow Jones. Because, you know, I don't believe that machines can replace humans. I believe that we want to provide software to make humans smarter and more efficient in what they do. So it's not a question of replacing them, it's being able to move them up to higher level tasks. So instead of that person sitting there and scrolling through hours and hours of video looking for the 2 second clip of Robert De Niro going, analyze that, you can move that person farther up the chain to do far more valuable research tools. One of the machine learning tool sets that we offer is called what we call supervised machine learning. And that's because we believe there has to be human curation involved in it. So we would then take a test sample, for example, of let's say 1,000 something, documents, scripts, whatever you've got, work with you, because you're the subject matter experts, not us. We then would teach the machine to get to the level of accuracy that you want to get at. And then we would then apply that against the larger data set. And then we would encourage you to have a team of people, whether that's one or 15, I guess it depends on how much data you've got sitting in your repository, to just review that every quarter to make sure that the machine is still continuing to reach the accuracy levels that you want and it's still doing what you want. Also, if you have a dynamic environment, if you're a news environment, you are going to have to adjust machine learning because the term Brexit didn't exist 5 years ago, but now it does. You know, cryptocurrency didn't exist 3 years ago, but now it does. I mean, you have to have a dynamic environment that's changing and the machine can help you do that. You know, like anything, you have to teach the machine how to do it.
I just want to go back to one thing he said about confidence and accuracy. Out of the box, these tools, I mean, Watson is the biggest marketer in the world, their accuracy is probably around 50%. Yours, I believe, is somewhere around 70 out of the box. We get up to 90 just through our own curation and our own supervised learning. We get over 90. So it takes time, right? You're not going to get to 92% accuracy overnight. It really does take a lot of time. It takes a lot of humans getting involved. We take our feedback from our customers. That article was tagged incorrectly. We look at the article, we say, why was it tagged incorrectly? And we run it back through the system after we make adjustments. And we'll go back and retro, not the whole archive, because that would be immensely expensive, but we go back every 5 years and the archive will find something that's incorrect.
And one of the interesting things that Dow Jones does as well is they have what they call their second pass rules. And so, for example, the machine can go through and read words like axes, murder, Chevy Novas, and Robert De Niro, or not Robert De Niro, those first three things, and say, oh, well, this is a crime story. But in point of fact, what happens if you go back and you look at the article again, you realize that they are words that were found within a movie description. So in point of fact, the second pass rule goes back and says, was this article coded correctly? Was it annotated correctly? Oh no, wait a minute, this is an entertainment story. Moved over into whatever part of the taxonomy or part of the natural language annotation plan that you've got, moves it over into there. So, like I said, you know, we're not enormously sexy. We don't not have anything to do with production or video or anything like that. Although we are working with a partner on voice to text. So in my head, because I think about these things from a journalistic perspective, what does that do? So think of a live interview that doesn't have a script. Thanks. Think of a live interview that doesn't have a script. So if you had this voice to text software coupled with what we can do, they can do it in almost real time. So if you're Anderson Cooper interviewing Melania Trump, and Melania Trump makes a quotation that says, "I fundamentally believe in ABC," within a couple of seconds, that should be able to go through the voice-to-text analysis, then to text, then to the analysis, then to the examination of all of Melania Trump's quotes, and should be able to be back on Anderson Cooper's desk in a couple of seconds. So that person then has the ability to say, "But Mrs. Trump, in 1989, you said this." She wasn't around like that, but anyway, she did. So they give me a 5-minute warning, but are there any other questions? Okay, Matt.
Sorry, you guys talked about a session, a strategy session. So what's changing in your customer base? What are people looking at? What are you trying to evolve towards?
Okay, so two things. One is complexity of search query, right? They want us to simplify our query language. And in my opinion, it should be very much Google-like. Doesn't change the underlying search. It changes what the consumer does. I mean, one of the things I'd like to see us do is when I type a word like axe, it would also search hatchet and all of the synonyms of axe without me having to know what it is. I mean, that's, Google does that today. We need to start doing some more things like that. Voice commands, I think we want. We also are looking at, rather than creating complex Boolean queries, potentially having a visual representation of data. And then you can pick and choose nodes and say, yes, I'm not interested. I have a really nice presentation on this, but I don't have it here. But so think of an empty node diagram about all of my competitors, and I'm a global sales Walmart, and I have all my competitors around me. And I can start clicking on nodes and saying, but not Canada, and not this, and what are their strategic plans, but not this, and like you really just do it by clicking on nodes, as opposed to having to come up with all of this Boolean complex query. Summarization is a big thing. So once I get down to the 20 articles or 30 articles that are about my topic, I still don't have time to read those 20 or 30 articles. So please tell me what they're about. So we've been starting to talk actually about summarization. So those are the big keys right now. That's about it. The product, the content, it's all about the data. They need the content, they need the data. But our customers, we haven't undergone a major facelift in 7 years of the product. So I think we probably are going to be undergoing one of those very shortly.
Yeah, I mean, breaking news is always breaking news, right? And leaks, you know, I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, you know, sometimes I wish that our office was right beside the White House. But anyways, think of that. I mean, think of the poor reporter or researcher that gets, a hard drive of 200,000 documents. Imagine trying to read through all of that to be able to come up with what it is this is all about. This is something where we can be extremely helpful, particularly in the machine learning from the machine unsupervised perspective, because we can bring out all the major topics or summarization. So, I mean, these are all things that we can do. And as I said, you know, we all make humans smarter through the use of machines. And I'd really encourage you, if you want to talk to me, I'm around the rest of the day, tell me what your pain point is, and I'll tell you if I can help you or not. And I'm not going to try and sell you a $100,000 system if I can't meet your need. So thank you all very much for coming.
And I want to go back. One other thing we're looking at doing is storage of triples. So there's a lot of data in articles that may not be about, the article might not be about. So say, for example, the article is about a merger, it's about something, but at the bottom it says in part of the article, and this company is buying this company, right? That article is not about that, but it's in the article. So that, how that data is there. So what we're trying to do now is do triple extraction. And if you don't know what triple extraction is, it's like subject verb noun, right? So this company bought that company, type of thing. So we're looking at extracting triples out of all these articles. Now, with 1.3 billion articles, we are estimating that each article may have five triples. So you're looking at in the billions of triple stores. There's not many companies out there that will claim that they can store 7 billion triples and then represent them digitally. It's a very difficult thing to do. So that's something we're also looking into. Stop reading articles and just looking at the data that's extracted from the articles.
Okay, thank you very much.